This week's episode of the FitCast is a special episode with Mike Boyle, where we're going to be talking about a wide range of subjects in strength and conditioning. We talk about different types of training for stressful environments, 5x5 training, improving your hockey game, the differences between the European and US format for strength and conditioning, and much more. So I hope you guys enjoy it, and we hope to see you back at Body by Boyle Online very soon. With me right now is Mike Boyle. No introduction needed. You may have just found out that Mike Boyle's strength and conditioning was rated the number one gym in America by Men's Health magazine. You may have also checked out some of his stuff like Strength Coach 3.0, and you hopefully are a member at strengthcoach.com. Mike, it's good to have you back on the show.
It's great to be back on the show, Kevin. Thank you.
Well, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got quite a bit of questions from the listeners. But first thing I want to ask you is, you did kind of win the award, number one gym in America. What does that really mean to you? I mean, it's a really big, award and achievement.
Well, one, I mean, it's great to be recognized. It's great to be recognized for the job we're doing. But I think, yourself, I said it the other day in the staff meeting, it really is a tribute to the staff, because Mike Boyle strength and conditioning is not a whole lot about Mike Boyle these days, and it's a real lot about the people that are there every day kind of grinding out, whether it's personal training or training the athletes or putting in crazy hours during the summer working 12-hour days. So I think it's a great honor, but it's really a great honor for the people that work there much more. I think, I'm at the stage of life, you get to be 50 years old, where it would have been a much bigger deal to me when I was 25, I think. Now I'm not, I'm happy, I'm proud, but I'm also realizing that it's an acknowledgement of a lot of work that a lot of other people do.
Absolutely, and like you said, the staff there is fantastic, and I'm very fortunate to be able to work with everyone at the facility. But like I said, we do have a lot of questions, and we have some other cool stuff to talk about. So we'll get to those. The first question comes from Matt. He says, "I have a question about recovery. I'm 31 years old and have been consistently doing resistance training for the past 16 months. My wife and I recently experienced the birth of our first child. I have returned to my pre-baby diet, but obviously I can't get the same amount of sleep. I've only been able to get in 2 training days per week instead of my usual 3, as I can no longer make it through the workouts in the same amount of time or cannot complete the full workout, and I am sore for days much longer after the workouts. I'm currently on week 8 of a 5x5 program, and I'm squatting and deadlifting 1.25 times my body weight and bench around 8% of my body weight, and I've been progressing nicely up until now. I know part of my problem is the mental fatigue on top of the physical fatigue during my sessions, and it is getting worse as the days of limited sleep are piling up. Should I continue focusing on progressive loading, even though I can't recover fully, and just get my workouts in when I can, or should I take a break from my current type of training until I can adequately recover and substitute training that will allow me to stay active but not keep my keep me from caring for my new mother and baby?"
Well, I think obviously the second. And one of the things, I think it's almost funny how someone can be limited for time and be doing 5x5, which is obviously besides probably German volume training, it's going to be one of the most time-consuming styles of training. One of the things I'd say to this guy is go back and look at some Stuart McRoberts stuff, or even go look, go back and crawl through some old, I think it's Men's Fitness that Jason Frugier writes for, and look at some of those hard gainer columns. Because when you get into this type of situation where you are time deprived and sleep deprived and all of these things, this is where abbreviated training, I think abbreviated training makes sense for everybody anyway. I mean, that from being in our facility. I'm not a big volume guy. I mean, we would never do 5x5. I never have done it with my athletes. I've never done it with anybody, really. I tried it with myself years ago, and I found I didn't do well on volume. And I don't think most people do. I think most people do better on intensity than volume. So with a guy like this, I'd say, hey, if you're trying to get stronger, warm up, go in, hit a heavy set. If you're thinking squat, bench, and deadlift, then try to figure out which two you want to do in the same day. Do you want to deadlift and bench in the same day? Or do you want to squat and bench in the same day if you're only getting 2 days in? And one day, if it was me, I'd probably go in and squat one day and then do some type of upper body assistance work. And I always go back to Pat Ward's wife, Yvonne. She always says, push something, pull something, do something for your legs. And I add in, push something, pull something, do something for your legs and something for your core. So if you can go in and if you could squat, do some push-ups, do some pull-ups, do some roll-ups, you can be in and out of there pretty quick, particularly if you pair up stuff and do things in between your squat sets. And then the next time you go in, you just got to pair. If you pair deadlift and bench, all you really got to do, if you do a vertical pull, then you got to do a horizontal pull on that day. And again, add in a couple of sets of rollouts or something like that, you know, plank rows, something that's going to give you a good total body core work, and get in and get out and realize that the time will change. The baby will sleep better. Your diet will get better. All that stuff will improve. But I still think you might become an abbreviated training fan.
What do you think in terms of interval training or conditioning when it comes to someone that is getting such a limited amount of sleep?
You know, in all honesty, unless he had something that he was training for, I wouldn't do it. To be perfectly honest, if you said, I'm a competitive athlete, I need to be in shape, I'd say, okay, you got to do briefer interval workouts too. But I think if you've got somebody like that and you said, hey, if you want to get some cardio, get the baby carriage out or get a baby Bjorn and go for a walk, because that'll be fine to get you up and moving. Because again, if you kind of listen to this guy, and you know, he seems to be looking for strength, you know, talking about what percentage of his body weight he's squatting and deadlifting and benching. So I think I'd be much more in favor of doing something low intensity versus something high intensity with somebody who's that fatigued.
Gotcha. The next question that we have comes from Nick from Melbourne, Australia, and it seems to be that we have quite a few fans from Australia for the FitCast and for yourself, Mike. We get tons of questions and requests to have you from the listeners from Australia. But Nick asks, in your book, Advances in Functional Training, you talk about hands-on therapy and how Europe never really abandoned it while the U.S. did. And you are favoring a return to a more hands-on model. My question is, what other things do you feel that the U.S. can learn from Europe and the rest of the world in the field of strength and conditioning or performance enhancement and vice versa?
You know, I don't know if there's much we've learned in the field of strength and conditioning or performance enhancement. I think in most of the areas, we're pretty advanced. I think obviously manual therapy is one of the areas where we're not. I think where we could learn a lot is in the area of athletic development. I think the Europeans do a much better job. They're much more grounded in science. There's much less pure capitalism in Europe. Whereas here, your kids play baseball year-round because some baseball guy needs money, and kids play soccer year-round because some soccer coach needs money, and they tell them that the best way to become a great athlete is to train year-round, but that's not the case. The Europeans clearly know that and do a much better job. You know, in sports like hockey, they have much shorter seasons in their professional games, and you know, at the national level. And even in soccer, even though they may play it year-round, the development process is very different. I read a great article about Ajax in Holland and their kind of development process and how they do things. So I think that's an area where we could probably learn more. But I think luckily for us, we're still leading the field in most of the strength and conditioning, performance enhancement, speed development stuff. I don't think that's an area where we're far behind or behind at all.
Well, it definitely seems that the other parts of the world are definitely catching up. But you just took a trip to Iceland yourself. So, you know, what kind of feelings did you get from the crowd there?
Well, you know, I think, again, they were really hungry for information, but they're probably at the stage that we were at in terms of there's still kind of a body part orientation. I think you still have that. The funny thing about Europe is that they're catching up, quote-unquote, by getting a lot of the technology into their gyms and, you know, more technological cardio equipment, more machines. You know, the machine companies are paying more attention to the European market. So in a lot of ways, it's a regressive catch-up. I think we went through that cycle, and we're coming out of it in terms of, everybody hates the term functional. But we're becoming much more functionally based, where we realize, hey, let's just have a big empty room with some dumbbells and bars and kettlebells, and that's great. That was the gym in Europe years ago. Now suddenly you've got kind of big box health club going over there and machines and Stairmasters and all these things. So I think hopefully their cycle will run quicker than ours because of the information. The good thing now is that the internet is amazing in what it's doing for the exchange of information. Things are just happening much, much faster. I go to Iceland and I've got fans in Iceland. I've got people who know who I am and who watch the DVDs, and that to me is amazing.
The next question that we have is from another Mike, and it is in regards to some hockey training. He says, I'm a rec league hockey player in Vancouver. I'm 36, 6'1", and 220 pounds, a D-man, and I play 2 to 3 times per week. I carry an extra 20 to 25 pounds, but I am cutting beer out of my post-hockey workout this year, so that should let me drop weight along with some other diet changes I picked out from the Fitcast. I'm a decent playmaker and skater for a rec league. I get about a point a game, but mostly assists because my shot sucks. I have a heavy slap shot but a slow release. My wrist shot is okay, but again, I need to really put my body into it. All my goals come off the rush when I'm close. I want to threaten from the blue line more, so how do I get more speed and snap into my shots?
If you wanted to take probably the one simple thing, answer, rotational medicine, pull throws, without a doubt. Because I think we overestimate the value of the wrists in shooting and drastically underestimate the value of that sequential joint action of bringing force from the front foot or from the back foot and transmitting that force, in this case, into a puck. So the one thing I would say is, hey, you know, find a wall, get yourself a good quality ball. The other thing is that I would buy one of the Dynamax balls. I'm just finishing up an article on that now, talking about the idea. I love the Dynamax non-bouncing balls because for things like hockey, there is no plyometric effect to that shot. It's very much a more concentric one rep max kind of thing. And you can mimic that much better with the Dynamax ball than you can with a bouncing ball, with this conventional rubber. So I find myself liking the Dynamax non-bouncing balls much better. And I really like, you've seen those ones in the gym, we have those little Dynamax minis are great. They're the Dynamax balls, but smaller, but I think they only go up to 6 pounds, so for a guy his size, I'd get myself an 8-pound Dynamax ball and start doing some rotational med ball work.
What would you have him start off at? Like, two sets of 8, every time he trains?
I think 3 sets of, I don't know why. 3 sets of 10 is the magic number. Sometimes I look and I should develop the 3 sets of 11 system to be different. But, I think 3 sets on each side, 10 reps. Because 10, it's funny. At one point, I was convinced we should go to 5 reps for the med ball because it's a power exercise. And then when I tried it, it just doesn't seem like enough reps. So I think you still stay with that kind of higher number, even though some people would look at that and say there's going to be a deterioration in power because you're doing too many reps. And I would tell them to go try it because I'd beg to differ because we tried it the other way.
Gotcha. Next question that we have comes from Clement, and it's an interesting question because I do love your take on nutrition because it gets straight into the point. He says, what nutrition and training advice or fundamentals would you give to a client who wants to achieve the greatest amount of lean gains that he can in the shortest period of time without losing his agility or speed? Thanks a lot. Mike Boyle is awesome. I really look up to him, and I'm thrilled that if you would ask him to address these.
I would say go back and read Food Rules, which is Michael Pollan's book. And Pollan basically says, eat food, mostly plants, not too much. If you have somebody who wants to gain lean mass, I think if you have people that are strength training, the only thing you have to add to Pollan's idea, because he's a little bit of a vegetarian, although he will tell you to eat some animal products, is I would say eat food, mostly plants and animals. So if you want to give somebody advice, eat food, not food products, mostly plants and animals, which would basically mean mostly vegetables and meats. Because, again, nutrition is so incredibly simple. We have tried very, very hard to make an extremely simple science complex and to think that there's something magical to this whole thing. But if you simply stayed to that format, you wouldn't have any trouble.
The next question that we have comes from Callum Lewis. He says, my name is Callum Lewis. I'm 21 years old, and I'm from Scotland. Big fan of the show. I'm also a member of Coach Boyle's strengthcoach.com and just want to thank him for all the effort he has put into making such a great site. I am currently at college studying sport and exercise science and want to be a strength and conditioning coach. I was wondering what certification I should take when I graduate. I know the NSCA certification is probably my best bet, but I am not sure if that is just recognized in the U.S. or if it also applies to the U.K. I'm also wondering if Coach Boyle could give me some tips on how to get my foot into the door in the strength and conditioning field, as I don't really have any connections in the business, and I know that networking is essential if I want to get anywhere. Thanks.
Well, the one thing, as much as I am probably the biggest non-NSCA fan out there right now, although actually, a couple guys probably have it worse than me, but I would still tell somebody to take the CSCS because I think at least for the near future, it is going to be the most recognized credential. I'm really hoping that that changes and that the CFCCA, which is the Collegiate Strength and Conditioning Coaches Association, I think is making progress in the U.S., but I think in terms of nationally, internationally, NSCA is going to be the most recognized. I don't think it's a good test. I don't think it's a good organization, but I would still tell you that's the one to get, unfortunately. As far as getting your foot in the door, networking is networking is networking, and I tell people that all the time. You've got to, if you're a strength coach member, you need to start posting some questions on the forum. Good, intelligent questions, not answers, not things that you write to make yourself look smart, but a good question that's going to ask you something that, or ask somebody else, I guess, something that you really need to know. You'd be amazed. You can make friends via the internet now. When people do it all the time, they date, they get married. So it's very, very easy to become acquainted with other strength coaches. But as a lurker on the site, sort of a non-poster, a reader, you're not going to make any connections at all. And if you're in a foreign country, if you're in Scotland, obviously you need to start to connect with people, you know, even if it's people in Ireland, whether it's, you know, Robbie Bourke in Ireland or some of the guys in England, you know, Matt Smith that are on the site. There are people within just within the UK that are on the site. And then obviously there are people all over the world. I know people now in literally every country. I got a thing, a Facebook thing the other day from a guy who owns a gym in Islamabad, Pakistan, who's, you know, love your DVDs. So I think by getting on the site and by starting to exchange information with people, that's kind of the first big step.
Yeah, you'd be amazed. You know, we talked about it in the past, but you ask a question on Strength Coach and you will get an answer. You will get a detailed answer from an expert. So it's, you know, a great resource. And I mean, if you're paying for the membership, make use of it, man. Get on those forums. And again, we kind of have a question that is similar to that. And this is from Neil. From Neil, he says, I'm in my final year of college and would like to begin filling out applications by the end of 2010. Basically, he's looking for an internship and he's wondering what he should look for in an internship when he's looking around and seeing, you know, kind of what he wants to do with his career.
Well, I mean, the good thing is I think there are some really good internship opportunities out there. I think one of the things he mentioned was travel in the question. To me, you know, again, we house interns in the summer, so I think that's a tremendous opportunity. This year we had guys from, I think we had guys from England, then from Ireland, and the year before we had Peter, you know, Smith was from Switzerland. We've had people from all over Europe, and I think eventually we'll have people from all over the world. So I think you should look at that. I'm pretty sure Athletes Performance houses people. So I would look into these internships that provide housing for you. Maybe they don't provide money, but if you get a place to stay, you're going to be okay. And I think that's the biggest thing. And if it, what should you look for? You should be looking to do an internship with somebody that's going to help you with your career. And, you know, that may sound like an oversimplification, but if someone looks on your resume and sees that you interned at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning, that's a positive for you in the world when you get out. If they see Athletes Performance on your resume, that's a positive for you. So I think you need to look. I mean, it's amazing. Some people will go and intern at their local Y and stand and hand out towels. You know, I think I have nothing against the YMCA, but if you want to be a fitness professional and you take an internship because you're going to get paid $8 an hour, you're crazy. I think you take the internship because you're going to get the type of quality of experience that's going to allow you to advance your career. So I think that's what you need to look for. Obviously, if geography becomes an issue, then you've got to find, okay, who's the best person in my area? And then work from there.
Yeah, a great example is Evan Levy, who just interned in the fall of 2009 at our facility. And, you know, he worked at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning for a little bit, and now he is working with a minor league hockey team. Like, he did everything he needed to do, and like you said, you know, that's how he got his foot in the door, and it's not bad to have Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning on that resume, and he also was at Athletes Performance before that, so.
Exactly.
Perfect.
And that, you know, he made the sacrifices, and suddenly the sacrifices turn around, and boom, here he is. He gets, you know, his goal is to work in professional hockey. He's in the minors right now, but he's probably one of only two or three guys who's got a full-time job in the American Hockey League. And same situation. Joe Lawrence was in the same situation last year, who's in Wilkes-Barre in the American Hockey League. Same deal. And, you know, you've got to put yourself in positions to be successful. And going someplace where it's easy probably isn't the answer.
The last question that I love to ask you, and I'd love to pick your brain on, is you are reading all the time. You're always seeing what the latest and greatest stuff that's out there. What has been out there recently that has kind of piqued your interest and you've kind of gotten a little bit more in depth into?
Sorry, what was it? I didn't get the end of the question. Did we get a little blip there?
Oh yeah, sorry. The internet connection is probably pretty bad.
Okay.
Basically, yeah. What have you been? What has kind of piqued your interest, and in, whether it be in terms of research or new training techniques or anything like that, that has you excited, or are you just kind of looking into a little bit more?
I don't know. There's not as much new stuff when you get to be 50 years old, unfortunately, or fortunately. And I find myself reading much more, I guess, what would fall into the self-help leadership type things, because one of the things I realize now is the next stage of life for me is going to be really making the people that I work with better coaches. So that is where much more of my energy is going. I find when I'm looking at training information, I always laugh because everybody loves to talk about, Russian and Eastern European and block periodization. And I'm thinking, my God, this stuff is 30 years old. And I love the fact that some of these younger coaches are discovering it, but I don't love the fact that they think they're discovering it. It's very similar, I guess, to when I was in Iceland, you realize that, we think Columbus discovered America and the Icelanders think that Leif Erikson discovered America. There are so many of these guys now that are talking about things that have already been talked about as if they're new. And they're things I look at and think, okay, we've, sort of seen all these things and tried all these things, and it generally does not change. And I think we need to be much more conscious of the logistics of training. What can you do in your situation versus some people get, they're so scientific. And I think that's great. If you get two athletes, maybe you can worry about things like that. But in the situation that we're in, where we have hundreds, I think you keep coming back to kind of this KISS principle, and it really becomes a matter of, okay, can we do a better job coaching? Can I make, the more good coaches I make, the more good impact we have on a larger number of kids or a larger number of adults. So I think that's, for me, that's where much more of my energy is going right now.
And finally, something that we want to talk about a little bit is almost for about the last year, we've been working on something, Body by Boyle Online. What was kind of the mindset behind that? And, what's this all going to be about?
Well, the mindset for that, and it's really funny because there's a strength coach thread kind of running about this idea right now, about training people who only want to train once a week or training somebody who you're not going to see. And I always felt like there was a huge market there that I couldn't serve very well, because what we do is not easy to translate. I looked at somebody and said, God, if I sent you the workout, I'd have to send you 40 videos and all these explanations and all these things that you would need to be able to understand. Because our system, if you looked at it, if I just sent you the workout sheet, you might be like, I have no idea. I don't have any idea what this guy's talking about. And suddenly what you've been able to do over the last, say, 3 to 4 months since we kind of got this whole XBS software thing going, is we now have something where someone can say, hey, I want to do the Mike Boyle program. I want to do exactly what you're doing. They can do that. They can go on, and literally everything's there to click on. You click on the exercise, you get a video. You get a real good demonstration of exactly how it's supposed to be done. So I think we've finally gotten to the point where we have something that I can really kind of put my name on and be proud of and look at and say to people, yeah, you're going to get the whole thing. The people that have looked, kind of test piloted this thing, think the video library alone is worth the money. And I would agree with them, but the reality is if you are one of these so many people who thinks, I don't know how to create training programs yet, it's all done for you. And that, I think, in the internet world, this idea of done for you, if you look on there and say, for whatever the price is per month, I can buy Mike Boyle's system, that's never been available before. No one's ever been able to do that up until this point, because I never felt like there was the amount of work I would have had to do to organize that would have just been absolutely crazy. And then Kevin Larrabee comes along and does all that work. And all of a sudden, now we have that product. And I think people will be, a little bit surprised, a little bit amazed, a little bit, maybe a lot impressed in terms of seeing, wow, I get the workouts. You know, somebody says, okay, I want to start a strength and conditioning business in Idaho. Well, they can download the 2-day and 3-day programs that we use with our athletes, and they can see every exercise illustrated, and they can walk right through the progressions week by week, block by block, the same way that we do them. And the cool thing about it is that if they don't understand, they're going to be able to write in or call in and say, you know, why did you do this? Why are you going, why does this start in tall kneel and this starts in half kneel? Why are you going to standing here? You're not going to standing there? Because we have reasons for everything. But again, it's not easy to explain everything. But now that you get this sort of large, all-encompassing package, you can do that.
Yeah, I think the craziest thing is the amount of video that we put together. For example, just for our staff meeting this week, and that's one of the big things that people really love at Strength Coach. We filmed over 15 minutes of the staff meeting, and the members are going to get the whole staff meeting. You're going to get 50 minutes of video, and that's pretty much a DVD's length worth of content. It just, it's our staff meeting. It's stuff, there's insights there that you're going to be able to carry over if you're a trainer or a strength coach or an athlete or a business owner. We talked a lot about business this week. And it's just, I'm just excited for people to kind of get their hands on it and check it out. And like Mike said, you're going to get the how behind everything as well. And in terms of educational content, I got to sit Mike down and run through a bunch of questions with him, and we'll continue to do that. If you guys have questions, I'll grab Mike and we'll film an answer for you. And we'll get that back up on the website. So we're really putting everything together. And I think Mike said it best in one of the videos. He said, you're going to get the recipe. You're going to get the recipe to put these workouts together, and what we've used at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning to great success. You're going to get the same exact recipe, so you can duplicate it and do it yourself and do it correctly. But yeah, Mike, we'll wrap it up there. I know you're short for time, so just thank you for coming back on the podcast. And I guess I'll see you at work tomorrow.
Yeah, no, thank you for all the work you've done both in the facility and out. I appreciate it.